May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 1093. How welcome to the tempest tossed, amidst the storm's career, while horror spreads from coast to coast, is some kind haven near. Hymn 1093.
Thank you. from the Holy Word of God. Let us read this evening in the prophecy of Isaiah. And we will read chapter 63 and 64. The prophecy of Isaiah. Chapter 63 and 64. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bosra? This that is glorious in his apparel, travelling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to say. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the winefat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments. And I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help. And I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury. And I will bring down their strength to the earth. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord, and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies, and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Saviour. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him, that led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them, to make himself an everlasting name, that led them through the deep as a horse in the wilderness, that they should not stumble? As a beast goeth down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest. So didst thou lead thy people to make thyself a glorious name. Look down from heaven and behold from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory. Where is thy zeal and thy strength, the sounding of thy bowels and of thy mercies toward me? Are they restrained? Doubtless thou art our Father. Though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not, thou, O Lord, art our Father, our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. O Lord, why hast thou made us to err from thy ways, and hardened our heart from thy fear? Return for thy servants' sake, the tribes of thine inheritance. The people of thy holiness have possessed it but a little while. Our adversaries have trodden down thy sanctuary. We are thine. Thou never bearest rule over them. They are not called by thy name. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, and thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down. The mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. Behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned. In those is continuance, and we shall be saved. For we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. Be not wroth very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity for ever. Behold, see, we beseech thee. We are all thy people. Thy holy cities are a wilderness. Zion is a wilderness. Jerusalem a desolation. Our holy and our beautiful house, where our fathers praise thee, is burned up with fire, and all our pleasant things are laid waste. Wilt thou refrain thyself for these things, O Lord? Wilt thou hold thy peace and afflict us very sore? May the Lord bless unto us each the reading of his holy and sacred word. May he help us to pray. O Jesus, stand amongst us in thy risen power. And let this time of worship be a hallowed hour. We thank thee, Lord, we can come and gather ourselves together beneath thy holy word. For thy word, Lord, is truth. Oh, and it contains the way of our soul's salvation. Lord, it testifies of Jesus, the Saviour of sinners. And Lord, all of us here this night, in thy most holy sight, are sinners in and of ourselves, without exception. From the youngest to the eldest, Lord, we've read that solemn word. Oh, we're all as an unclean thing. And our righteousnesses, those things which are done in accordance with thy word, those things, Lord, which we should do, Lord, are not worthy of any merit. For thou art as before thee as filthy rags. For even those come, Lord, mixed with the evil spirit that is in us. Lord, a heart that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, that feeds our pride and, Lord, our self-will, and we do not submit to thy righteousness. O Lord, we come before thee tonight in need of that sin-atoning blood, that redeeming work of the precious Son of God, the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Lord, do not let us come in vain, but as we come and gather ourselves together, Lord, give us the cause to praise thy name, to give thee all the honour and all the glory, because thou hast witnessed within us, by thy Spirit, that we are amongst those sinners that are saved by grace. Lord, we can ask no greater blessing. We can ask no greater petition. Lord, that we be counted in that number for whom Christ came to shed his blood on Calvary's cross, and so fulfill the law. Oh, the law that can make nothing perfect, but the bringing in of the better hope did. Oh, Lord, so we plead with thee for pardon. Who can need it more than we? Make us as a watered garden. Yea, pure and spotless let us be. Lord, so come and hear the prayers of each praying soul, Lord, this night that seeks to be confirmed as one of thine. We thank thee for thy holy word. Lord, there are solemn things contained in it. There are blessed truths contained in it also. Lord, we read ourselves, oh, under the solemn warnings and condemnations, worthy of thy judgment. Lord, lead us by thy Spirit into the truth as it is in Jesus. And may we find our place there, oh, sheltering beneath that shed blood of Christ by faith, looking unto Jesus, our all and in all, and there to be all our glory. Oh, separate us, Lord, from the great love of this world, which is in us by nature. Lord, we have to deal with the things of this world. We have to deal with the businesses, the duties, the responsibilities, the many cares, Lord, the many decisions that have to be made for our earthly good and those for whom, Lord, thou hast given us and for whom we are responsible for. But Lord, do not let them surmount our need of thee, our dependence upon thee. Lord, our love to Christ, where he is the chiefest among 10,000, and the altogether lovely. Oh, keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, for lose sight of Jesus and his cross, and soon we fall a prey. Our lust and our pride, by power and craft, will carry us away. So, Lord, we thank thee we can come, and every desire in our hearts to be found here this night. Lord, who separate us for a moment of time from all other things that assail us. And Lord, who give us that eye of faith and the listening ear and the softened heart, that Lord which we attend to finds an abiding place within us, and we do not go empty away. Bless the hymns, Lord, that have been chosen for this service. Use those, Lord, as words in season to some needy soul. Make them prayers and praises in our hearts. So, Lord, we commend ourselves to thee this night. Oh, may we hear thy voice, Lord, which is so vital to hear, in power in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, a voice of love and mercy that sounds from Calvary. We commend to thee, Lord, thy people here and all that gather together here. Lord, may not each gathering together be in vain. Bless the ministry of thy word at all times. And Lord, when there's the reading of the preached word, oh, may that be used of thee for the profit of many a soul. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt grant thy guidance, thy wisdom, and all needed grace to the church, in all that they have to manage and handle for the furtherance of the gospel in this place. Help the deacons in all their responsibilities. And oh, do hear and answer their many prayers. Grant the unity, Lord, that is of thy spirit. And with that unity, Lord, the bond of thy peace. Each of the congregation, Lord, oh, may there be each one called by grace into the knowledge of thy redeeming love. Lord, do break the hard heart and do heal the broken heart. Lord, we pray thy work shall be done here to the good of every soul, and to the honour and glory of thy great and holy name. Lord, remember the children and the young people. Lord, we commend them to thee and pray thy loving, watchful care ever to be upon them. Lord, the very young, oh, do develop their faculties. Lord, may they grow in health and strength. And Lord, as those faculties develop, although they'll have their own nature within them, Lord, may thy spirit also be witnessed within them. Draw them to thy word. Lord, draw them to thyself. And oh, confirm them as the lambs of thy fold, the fold of which thou art their shepherd, the good shepherd, that giveth his life for the sheep. And Lord, the young people also, may they know the same blessing of the gift of thy sovereign grace through the Lord Jesus Christ, the witness by thy Spirit to rule their hearts, and thy word Lord, to be a lamp to their feet, a light to their pathway. Oh, the many decisions that have to be taken. And at this time of year, Lord, when many have had results of examinations, Lord, and perhaps some yet to come, Lord, we pray thou wilt lead and guide in the way thou wouldst have them to go. When there's the leaving of home, Lord, be their constant companion. Lord, thy good hand to be upon them. And Lord, thine arms about them to shield them from all evil, from harms and from dangers. And O Lord, do call and lead them in the right way. A way, Lord, where they commit all their way unto thee in prayer, trusting in thee, and thee, Lord, to bring to pass that which is for their good. Not only providential, but spiritually. O Lord, do bless them abundantly. And from the rising generation, may there be many called, Lord, to testify of thy great goodness and mercy unto their soul. That there be a continuation of thy visible church here, Lord, in this place and elsewhere, wherever is thy sovereign will. Lord, each of us, no matter what our age, oh, do not leave us outside the knowledge of thy redeeming love. For true religion is more than notion. Something must be known and felt. Oh, Lord, that gift of thy Spirit to reveal Christ in us. Lord, the hope of glory. Lord, that's what we need. And oh, more frequent let thy visits be, and let them longer last. Lord, do visit us this night. Speak to us through thy word, that word not to return to thee void, but to accomplish that which thou doth please, and for it to prosper in the thing to which thou doth send it. Lord, we do pray for thy blessing upon the preached gospel wherever it is proclaimed. Lord, we pray thou wilt help all those thou hast sent forth that minister in the gospel. Lord, that thou wilt fill them with thy Spirit, that they are able to pour out upon the needy souls that strength and renewing of life and spiritual prosperity may be granted. Lord, send out others to labour in the ministry of the gospel. For truly the harvest is great, the labourers are few. Lord, oh, the way of salvation to be faithfully declared. Lord, thou knowest where thou hast begun that work. The exercise, Lord, to speak in thy name. Lord, we pray thou wilt overcome all the fears, all the objections, all the excuses. Lord, all that is of a rebellious nature. And Lord, yes, as we've read, may the mountains flow down at thy presence. And Lord, do bring forth, Lord, those that shall go forth and be used to the glory of thy name. Lord, that many dead in trespasses and in sins may become quickened into the way that is everlasting. Oh, how we need it, Lord, in this evil day, where the power of Satan and evil has risen up. Lord, thou hast permitted it to come. Is it because of our sin? Is it because of our unfaithfulness? Is it because, Lord, we've turned aside? And we love the things of this vain world more than thee. We value earthly possessions more than the possession of the knowledge of thy saving grace. Oh Lord, how we have fallen. Yea, the church is in the desert now. And Lord, the enemy comes in like a flood. We pray thou wilt lift up a standard against it. Lord, overturn the desires and the will of the ungodly, and do not let them have the rule and authority and power over us. Maintain our liberties of worship. We thank thee for them, Lord, this night. Do not let us value them more by the loss of them. Lord, we pray thou wilt come and give wisdom, Lord, to our leaders. Oh, what confusion there seems to be in our Parliament, not knowing what to do. But, Lord, thou knowest what they should do. Lord, thou knowest what thou shalt do. And we pray, Lord, thou wilt appear. Oh, Lord, in thy mercy, direct them, constrain them. Lead them, Lord. Give them of thy spirit, of thy tender fear, which is the beginning of wisdom. Turn them about from the ways of evil, and draw them into the way of thy holy word of truth, that the sacred scriptures become their divine counsel, and their petitions are prayers before thee. O Lord, do hear us and appear, that thou shalt have all the honour and all the glory. O Lord, do so help us in all these things, and prosper thy church. Hear the prayers of thy people. And Lord, for the growing generations, may they enjoy the liberties, the freedom of worship, and the blessing of thy spirit all their days. Hear us then, Lord, in all these things. Give us wisdom to handle every matter wisely. Help us to do all things in thy tender fear. Hear us, Lord, in heaven. Hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, do forgive. We ask it in the name of Jesus, and for his sake alone. Amen.
Hymn 1097. A refuge for sinners the gospel makes known. 'Tis found in the merits of Jesus alone. The weary, the tempted, and burdened by sin were never exempted from entering therein. Hymn 1097.
Before we come to a text, dear friends, I would say I do apologise for not praying for those who would be here tonight if they could. Perhaps the various reasons. I pray the Lord will watch over them, be with them, and grant him his blessing. May the Lord help us and draw us to the truth of his holy and sacred word. And I was asked your prayerful attention by way of text to the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 64 and verse 8. The prophecy of Isaiah 64 and verse 8. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. This eighth verse of the 64th chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. My dear friends, I feel much tried in being drawn this morning to this eighth verse, because I felt constrained to preach from it to my own people last Lord's Day afternoon. And it isn't usual for me so soon after speaking, endeavouring to preach, to one people to have the same text so shortly afterwards. But the Lord would give me nothing else upon my spirit. So I pray that the Lord will open it up as he would have it opened for each one of us tonight. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay and thou our potter. And we all are the work of thy hand. And as I looked at this word in the earlier part of today, that small word seemed to stand out. That word, we. We are the clay. We are all the work of thy hand. Dear friend, it speaks of a particular people. Not all people can take this verse to themselves. And when we come to the Holy Scriptures and read these portions, oh, how we need the Lord to search us out by his Spirit as to whether they apply to us or not. Who are this people, this we? The prophet has been writing under the influence of the Spirit concerning a people who he calls the daughter of Zion. A particular people, the daughter of Zion. Dear friends, when we have the word daughter in Scripture and the word son, then that does not limit it just to male and female, spiritually. In the original Hebrew, we find the word translated sons in the plural and the word daughters in the plural are exactly the same word in the Hebrew. Oh, what wisdom was needed and given to the translators to know how to understand the application and the meaning of these original tongues, so they can reveal to us the sacred truth. Whether sons or daughters, children. And we find the expression, don't we, in the scriptures, a children of Zion. What is Zion? Well, the first time we read of Zion, I think it's in the first book of Samuel, where David went up to take the stronghold of Zion. It was in the hands of the enemy, and no one had been able to conquer it. But David was given power and wisdom to take the stronghold of Zion, or as Chronicles tells us, the castle of Zion. It became known as the city of David. And to Zion, the city of David, David brought the Ark of the Covenant, that which signified the presence of God with his people. The Ark of the Covenant, which contained the law which no one had been able to attain to obey perfectly. It was a broken law in that respect. But it wasn't seen. It was covered with mercy. The mercy seat. And there above the mercy seat were the cherubims. Their wings covering. And the Lord had said to Moses, there will I commune with thee. From above the mercy seat. It was there, dear friends, which was the place of sacrifice. The high priest, when the temple was built on Mount Zion, the Lord's habitation, there was sacrifice for sin. And there was the place to which prayer was to be poured out, to be, I will look again toward thy holy temple, and the Lord to hear in heaven his dwelling place. And when he heard, to forgive. Dear friends, this Zion was a sacred place, wasn't it? How much more when we think of it spiritually. The church of God. The place of his habitation. The place which Christ conquered. To remove the power of Satan. That there be the dwelling of Christ, the dwelling of the Lord, in the power of his Spirit. Where guilty sinners can come, pleading for mercy. And there, when those pleas for mercy are heard, oh, the Lord hears in heaven his dwelling place and he forgives. Dear friend, what a sweet place this is spiritually. The place where Satan cannot come. The place where the Lord's presence is known and felt. The place which he has conquered. A holy place. And those who are drawn there. Those who are compelled to flee there. They're called the daughters of Zion. The children of Zion. The children of God. Dear friends, they come as guilty sinners. There's no other need they have for fleeing. Oh, to this sweet place where there's pardon, forgiveness, the blotting out of all transgressions, and the loving of one's soul freely. It's a place of peace, a place of great blessing. And dear friends, it's a place to be known in the sinner's heart, who is truly brought compelled by the teaching of the Spirit, that this is their only place that they can obtain eternal life. The daughters of Zion. And they witness, well, before we go on to the witness, how was that place? How was that place established for the sinners of this earth, the needy sinners? We read, didn't we, of the death and the resurrection foretold of the Son of God. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bosra? This that is glorious in his apparel, travelling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak righteousness, mighty to save. Dear friends, there was gone through Calvary and the shed blood of Christ, that glorious victory. There was not just salvation for sinners, which there was, and that's the only place we find it. But there was the complete destruction of the enemies of the truth. Oh, he's there in his wrath, in his zeal, for the power, over the power of sin, he destroyed it. That where the law could condemn, and Satan, the accuser of the brethren, oh, could have power and influence, that's now all gone. A righteousness is wrought out, mighty to save salvation from the wrath of God on account of sin. These daughters of Zion, dear friends, it becomes the object of their first desire. I trust it's your first desire. Jesus, crucified for me. Oh, what a testimony they gave. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. What a testimony. From where did this testimony come? Well, I believe it's what we read at the end of chapter 62, which we didn't read. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, his work before him. The voice of the Lord unto these guilty ones, drawn to seek for their soul salvation. There's the promise of that salvation. That's which he gives to his needy people. When we read there his reward, it's not on account of our doing, of account of our righteousness. It was Christ who was obedient unto death to do the will of the Father. And he gained that power through the giving of his life and the raising again in that glorious resurrection to ascend back to the glory of the Father he had before the world began. And dear friends, everything was complete in the way of salvation. And this is what he gives, his reward, unto his people, unworthy that they are. Oh, they're not worthy of the least of his mercies. But God the Father sees of the travail of the soul of his Son, and he's satisfied. Oh, their sins are blotted out. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Sought out, called by grace. The Lord knoweth them that are his. He came to seek and save those that were lost. The lost sheep of Israel. Oh, dear friends, and those lost sheep of Israel, dear friends, they are caused to know their lost state, aren't they? And to cry out for the coming of that shepherd. The shepherd who gives his life for the sheep, that they be amongst these the redeemed of the Lord, to be amongst the people, that fold of the Lord, never to be forsaken, never to be forsaken. Dear friends, this is the only surety we have, isn't it? The only hope of eternal life. And what Christ, the Son of God, the gift of God, has done for our soul. And dear friends, this is to be known and felt. It isn't something that is just imagined. It isn't something that we learn ourselves just by reading the Bible as we do any other book. It's the application in the power of it, the quickening power of the word of God that testifies of his mercy unto a sinner's soul. That's the sinner's soul, dear friends, who falls before him, humbly trusting in the cross. That alone is all his glory. Everything else becomes but dung and dross. Thee to own a perfect Saviour. The daughters of Zion, the we. Oh, dear friends, is that us? You say, oh, I wish I was so blessed. I wish I could say I lived in such a frame and a state as that. Well, dear friends, what did we read in chapter 63, verse 8? For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. In other words, dear friends, they are ever sinners in their own sight. They're ever guilty of many transgressions day by day, because they know this power of sin is yet within them. Sinners become exceedingly sinful. And oh, that earthly nature they still have, that earthly spirit, being pulled aside, as it were, by self-will, the desire of our heart, the lusts of our flesh, oh, self-esteem, and all the rest, dear friends, of an earthly spirit. We fail and we fall and we fail and we fall, and we sin and transgress. And in the time of temptations, oh, our weakness. How many times have we sinned today? Has it grieved us? Well, dear friends, if we're truly taught of the Spirit and value this mercy and the love of God, which on that one occasion, that time past, maybe recent days or a recent season, has been applied to us, when our hearts were changed, when we were born of the Spirit, born of God, and we loved him in a way we'd never thought that was possible because of his love for us. Oh, the preciousness of the word, the preciousness of Christ. And then we lost it, didn't we? We sinned, we were tempted, we fell. Darkness came where there'd been that light and that glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, dear friends, what did that do? It brought us again to plead and confessing our sin. Confessing our sin. And we shall never get beyond that. A daughter of Zion never will. A true child of God will never get beyond a state like that whilst we're in the flesh. Surely, he says, they are my people. Because he's worked this work of grace. He's put that knowledge of their sin within them. He's put his love within them. And they hate the grieving of the Holy Spirit. They do not lie. No, they confess their sin. So he was their Saviour. That's the reason why Christ came, isn't it? To save his people from their sin. Oh, dear friends, what an experience this is, to know our Jesus crucified by far excel all sin, but far excel all things beside. You sometimes sing a hymn, don't we? About your harps, ye trembling saints, down from the willows take. Loud to the praise of Christ our Lord, bid every string awake. Why? Well, let me just adapt verse 4. The time of love did come, when you did clearly see, not only that he shed his blood, but you could say, for me, for me. Now, dear friends, there's some of you here tonight who can say that, can't you? You dare not deny it. Perhaps there's some of you here tonight, I hope there is, who could sing this verse prayerfully, the time of love. Oh, dear friend, to come. And there's a promise here because you're a seeking soul. The Lord has in effect said unto you, seek ye my face. And your heart has replied, my thy face, Lord, will I seek. And you're watching, you're waiting for the Lord's appearing to hear that sound of his voice in power, in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Well, the hymn writer says the time of love that to such sinners will come, when we shall clearly see, not only that he shed his blood, but he shall say for me, tarry his leisure then. Wait the appointed hour. Wait till the bridegroom of your souls reveals his love with power. Well, that's the experience, isn't it, of the daughters of Zion, the children of God. The love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost given to you. Now, dear friends, these are not strange things. These are the things of God who does not change. These are the things of Christ who is the same yesterday, today, and there forever. These are the things of the needy sinner throughout all the ages. There's only one way. There's only one way we can have a hope of eternal life. And dear friends, if we do not know this way, then are we not yet in the broad way? No matter what our condition is and our outward performance, no matter what our outward conduct, or we come to the house of God, we read his holy word, we sing the hymns, and so we carry on in an outward form. Do we know anything within? Has it ever touched our heart? However, we've been turned to Zion's hill, changed our heart, renewed our will, led our feet to Zion's hill, where we've fallen before the Lord as guilty sinners. And our prayer has only been, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, dear friends, if you've never been there, never drawn there, oh, tremble at the word of God and plead his mercy. Oh, may the Lord speak solemnly. May the Lord search us out. As David prayed, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way that is everlasting, through that straight gate, which is faith in that shed blood of Jesus Christ, into the narrow way which leads on to eternal life. Oh, we read here, didn't we, of the confession of the sins of these daughters of Zion. They mourned the felt absence of their God. They mourned their iniquity. Or they mourned whether the Lord would ever be merciful to them again. But they said this, doubtless thou art our Father. Though Abraham be ignorant of us and Israel acknowledge us not, Thou, O Lord, art our Father, our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. Now, dear friends, the scriptures put those things together in one. Our Father, our Redeemer. God, the Redeemer, through the gift of his Son, who's paid the price to redeem our souls from the pit of corruption, to redeem us unto the life that is everlasting. And so our text says, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, the children of God. This is their confession. And dear friends, this is not just only an Old Testament expression of Father. It's a New Testament expression as well. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, his disciples, I have chosen thee, thou hast not chosen me. Having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. When ye pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. When Christ arose and appearing unto his own loved ones, appearing first to Mary Magdalene, he said to Mary Magdalene, go, tell my brethren, I go to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. You know, dear friends, we often turn away, don't we, from using the expression of God as Father. Perhaps it's because we fear, because we are unworthy. And dear friends, we are unworthy. But you think of the prodigal son. How unworthy he was because of all his transgressions. How he'd fallen and gone into the way of sin, seeking right, riotous living. Dear friends, when he came to be in want, what did he say? I will return to my Father's house. He wasn't worthy to be called his son. Make me one of thy hired servants. No, dear friends, he wasn't worthy. But he was a son and nothing could ever change that. He was loved of the Father and nothing could change that because that love was everlasting. Dear friends, because of our sin, as we continue in this life, we're not worthy, are we, of the least, of the smallest of the essence of the love of God through Christ Jesus. But where he's begun a good work in us, where we've been able to testify assuredly of his mercy and grace as a daughter of Zion, as a son of God, then, dear friends, once in him, it's him forever. Born of the Spirit, born of God. And if we are born of God, then, dear friends, there is the nature of the spiritual Father. You know, naturally speaking, we've all had parents, fathers, mothers. And perhaps we've been rebellious children. Perhaps we've done those things which we should not have done. And we've even hated, perhaps, the hand of parents upon us. Perhaps we've even sought to remove ourselves from their power and influence. But, dear friends, we are still their sons and daughters. They're still our parents. Nothing can alter that fact. We were born of them. Nothing can change that. And dear friends, you know, when we are born of God, oh, what a great mercy. That mercy endureth forever. Although we are sinners and we transgress again and again and again, that Father's love through the gift of his Son, dear friends, is ever upon us. If it wasn't, then we'd only go to hell, wouldn't we? Oh, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. but know, O Lord, thou art our Father. What a confession. That's through experience of that love and that mercy unto our soul. The Lord Jesus speaks very solemnly to the Jews who did not believe. Now, the Jews were very religious. They held to the law. They were very righteous. They trusted in their own righteousness. Jesus said, "Ye are of your father, the devil." Oh, how that searches us out, doesn't it? Have we any evidence of the Lord himself, our Father? Dear friends, if we've got no evidences, then oh, how solemn. "Ye are of your father, the devil." Is that the truth? Religious as we may be, seeking to walk in accordance with the law, perhaps full of judgment of others, thinking we're self better than others. Oh, our religious ways can lift us up through pride, can't they? And yet, dear friends, we can be of the most vilest of sinners without any hope. Oh, what a testimony this word is, "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father." Dear friends, if you've got no knowledge of this, if there seems to be so much that hinders you because of your sin, your unbelief, oh, your doubts, then do pray that the mountains might flow down at his presence. Oh, give the Lord no rest. Continue in prayer earnestly till you know, you feel, you witness that love of the mercy of God to your heart. For when that comes, dear friends, there's true peace. There's true happiness that you could never achieve yourself in all what you endeavour to do in this world. Oh, we have people who think their happiness lies in all the riches of the world. Their trillions of pounds, their billions. Yet they're bankrupt spiritually. They'll have to leave. They'll have to leave all the things of this earth when they die. They know they'll die, but they seek to put it off, the thoughts of it. And they consider that it'll just be like a sleep. They just won't know anything else at all. A restful sleep. Oh, how deceitful is Satan. But dear friends, we pray that we may be delivered from this darkness. For the riches of this redemption, the power of the shed blood of Christ, which has paid the price for the needy, for the sins of needy souls. Dear friends, nothing can excel that in its value. For when we pass from time into eternity, it's then we shall realize the fullness of that treasure. We shan't be separated from it. But there we shall be in the presence of God. Oh, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we are called the sons of God to dwell with Christ forevermore. Oh, may each of us, dear friends, be given this testimony, "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father." Oh, I see the time's going quickly. We are the clay, and thou our potter. In other words, dear friends, we're his. How did we come to be his? Why does it say we are the clay and he the potter? We're the work of his hands. Of course, we're no longer our own. We are bought with a price. And we're to serve the Lord, aren't we, with body and all things spirit, which are God's. You know, you've probably been to a pottery. You've probably seen the potter there take that clay, perhaps from the corner maybe of a room. He selects it. And it's not exactly as he wants it to be when he takes it. It might be quite hard. It might be very brittle. But in his hands and the warmth of his hands, he completely, by pressing it and shaping it, and he gradually makes it soft. And dear friends, when that is soft, then his work can begin. You know, we've got hardness of heart, haven't we, in our unregeneracy. The Lord knows how to take us, how to take his people and make their hearts soft. To take away the heart of stone, give the heart of flesh. We have it, don't we, in Romans, I think it's Romans chapter 10, where Paul says, not all those of Israel are Israel. For there's those have a zeal of God, but have not submitted to his righteousness. Have not submitted to his righteousness. Now that's what the pliable hand in the hand of God of his people, he makes their hearts soft to be submissive to the righteousness of God, which is in Jesus Christ, who gave his life a sacrifice for sin, made sin for his people, oh, to say made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And then, dear friends, that work begun is carried on. He begins to mould us in the way he would have us moulded, to form us as a people for his praise. Form us as a people for his praise. You know, when the potter's working, have you noticed on that wheel, he never takes his eyes off that work. He may be surrounded by a lot of people watching, but he never takes notice of them. The fingers are working, he's shaping it, his eyes are upon it. Sometimes he may take a tool to help him, but that tool is in his hand, and so he uses it to form the vessel in the way he would have it, till it is perfect. And if while he's moulding that clay, there's perhaps a lump, there's something, an impediment there, an impurity, friends, how he has to stop and carefully has to remove it, doesn't he? Perhaps with a tool, and till all is made perfect in the end. You know, dear friends, the Lord shapes us, doesn't he? We're in his hand when we're called by grace. We're not our own. And the Lord knows what we need to be taught, that we may grow greater in the knowledge of his love, to grow in his grace, that our pathway in life may be sanctified to the good of our souls, the fervence of the gospel, the knowledge and the value of him within us, that when we come to the end of our days, dear friends, we've lost all hope and glory in this life. Always led us forth by the right way, that we might come to that city of habitation, to look up in that day and see and behold, oh, a dear Redeemer. Be satisfied when we awake in his likeness, his likeness. Oh, what a shaping, what a moulding. To be shaped in the likeness, dear friends, of Christ, we've got to have all sin removed. Everything has got to be confessed. And how the Lord uses our lives, the circumstances of them, the troubles, the tribulations of them, to bring us and lead us to where all is confessed before him. That we ourselves decrease, as John the Baptist said, and he himself increases. That Christ becomes our all and in all. You know, dear friends, the pressure of those things to reshape the pot. We think sometimes of the chastening, don't we? Well, we need changing in our ways and in our thoughts, in our opinions and our desires. Sometimes going our own way, those impurities still in our heart, He's going to remove them. We read in Exodus, don't we, those magicians of Pharaoh spoke of the finger of God. You know, dear friends, the finger of God is very solemn. The finger of God wrote to Belshazzar, the writing on the wall is condemnation. And the Lord says, those whom he loves, he chastens. And we read that, don't we, concerning the church in Laodicea. They were a church, but they'd fallen. They'd loved the riches of the world and all that they had. And he chastened them. His chastening was that hand knocking at the door. That hand, dear friends, that finger, it's a finger what knocks, isn't it? And oh, to hear that voice, that chastening, that finger of God in our lives, and to recognize it's on account of our waywardness, of our sin, to bring us humbly confessing our sin before him. And if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He enters in again in his mercy. So he was their Saviour. And gives more tokens of his heavenly love. He comes in and sups with them. And they with him. This is my body broken for you. This is my blood which is shed for you. Sweet views by faith of the preciousness of Christ, the gift of God for the cleansing of their sin. So we are moulded, aren't we, again and again and again, that we become a perfect work, nothing of self, everything of himself. We are all the work of thy hand. Oh, dear friends, how we need the grace of submission, don't we? To humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt us in due time. And until then, casting all our care upon him, knowing he cares for us. Oh, as the Father cares for his children upon this earth. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay and thou our potter. We are all the work of thy hand. You know, dear friends, when the potters made that ornament or whatever it is, that vessel, it then just doesn't leave it. Because while it's still soft and supple, it may lose its shape. It won't be perfect. It is soon put in the kiln. It is soon put in the oven. That it is sealed into the shape which is made it. And then, dear friends, that when it comes out, it is used for his purpose in whatever way he's formed it. You know, dear friends, the Lord is sovereign. He may bring you into a great exercise, an exercise which seals you as a child of God and calls you, leads you into the way, then he will use you for his honour and glory. We have mothers in Israel. Now, friends, those members, as we might say today, of the church, those who fear God because of his love to them, and oh, they still know their own sin. They're tender, they're fearful. But all that love to the others, how they desire others to know the same mercy which they have found. And they bear them in their bosom of the womb, as we might say, of prayer. Praying one for the other and giving wise counsel in the tender fear of God. Dear friends, the Lord uses whom he will bless with the grace. Oh, how we need them in our churches, don't we? He may use one and another for the oversight of the churches, of his church upon this earth. Dear friends, they have to know this beginning before they can take any office. They have to know this foundation of their hope in Christ Jesus before they can take any step. Because all must be done to his honour and glory. But having formed them, having taught them, Dear friends, he will then use them to his glory. Perhaps the deacons, the ministers of the gospel, maybe the pastorate. Dear friends, to go in the way, and he has to use them. It's his hand what guides them. It's his hand that directs them. It's he that makes the way for them. And dear friends, oh, how we have to pray, don't we, to be submissive to the way that he would have us go. But it may not be such offices as that. It may be just a humble witness in our daily lives. A witness of the good hope that is within us. The way we speak. The way we handle a matter at work, at school, in the neighbourhood. How we conduct ourselves in times of trouble and difficulty. A calm, peaceful, the fruits of the Spirit evident from within us. Friends, how the Lord can use such a witness to the good of others. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and praise God. Oh, may that be the case today. Friends, we're to be in the way the Lord would have us go. Where he's called us by grace, through that redeeming love, then let us walk in love as Christ hath loved us. Oh, we read of those, don't we read of those in, is it Malachi, those who fear God. They spake often one to another. They didn't speak of the weather and all the things which oh, we often talk about. They concern us, don't they? Of course they do. But those that feared God spake to the honour and glory of his name, to what he'd done and what he continues to do, in being mindful of them. And those precious promises are theirs, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, they deserve to be forsaken, but no. None shall ever pluck them out of his hand. None shall ever pluck them out of my Father's hand. And the Father's hand of Christ, dear friends, is the Father of his people. Because he said so. I go to my Father and your Father. My God and your God. Dear friends, these are the true children of God. And these are the experiences of them. In his sovereign way upon this earth. And their hearts are softened. They're made conformable to his will. Oh, dear friends, do not fight. Oh, be wary. We do fight. Be wary of fighting against the will of God. We read, don't we, in one place, I think it's in Jeremiah, of a vessel marred in the potter's hand and it was cast aside. Oh, how solemn. No, may ours be this. Ye are Christ. All things are yours. Ye are Christ. And Christ is God's. And if all things are yours, eternal life is yours. Nothing can separate you from that love of God, the Father of his people. Although we deserve, dear friends, to be cast into that outer darkness, he brings his people into his most marvellous light, because that blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, cleanses from all sin. And as he looks upon his people through the merits of his Son, thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Oh, thou art our Father. We are the thou art the potter, and we are the clay. We are all the works of his hand. And when, dear friends, we get to that glorious place, the kingdom of God, our eyes will only be for what he hath done, to call us by his grace and to dwell with him forevermore. And so to him be all the glory. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Fred Ince will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Pocock at our special services on Monday. Let us close with hymn 676. Oh, could I lift this heart of mine above these creature things, I'd fly and leave this world below as though on eagle's wings. Hymn 676.
Thank you.
O Lord, do pardon and forgive all that thy holy and pure eyes have seen amiss in our worship here this night. O Lord, hear the prayer of our last hymn. Make us all one in Jesus. And being one in Jesus, so we're of the redeemed through Christ of the Father. And so, Lord, made one in him forevermore. And may our lives, Lord, give testimony of this truth, to live to the honour and glory of thy great and holy name. So, Lord, help us, be with us, strengthen, support us, ever uphold us by thy Spirit, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.